Let's go to Australia. Bernard Keane's political editor for Crikey.com. What is the story now? You had your social media sort of standoff last week with companies telling the government they didn't like their laws. It was Meta in particular, I think. But what else is happening with respect to your social media companies at the moment? Bernard, welcome.
Good morning. It seems like our national sport is now attacking social media companies, which admittedly are not too popular anywhere in the world. But yes, we had last week, we had the continuing standoff between Meta and basically the Australian news media, the corporate news media, and the government, because Meta said we're not going to allow ourselves to be forced to hand over millions of dollars to Australia's corporate media to prop it up. But TikTok's now in the sights of at least some lawmakers, because people will be aware the Americans moved to ban TikTok over the protests of Donald Trump, curiously. But in a little signal of how public affairs goes in Australia, because the Americans did it, or at least are moving to do it, the conservative opposition here has said we must ban TikTok as well. TikTok is kind of, I guess, the poster child for this pervasive sense that China has got some sort of technological edge in social media that we've allowed them to accumulate, and is thus the target of fairly constant criticism. The government here has said, well, yeah, we know the Americans are going to ban TikTok. We don't actually see quite why we should ban TikTok at this point, but we'll keep on observing it. But it's a combination of loathing of social media, big social media, particularly ones that are popular with young people, which of course Facebook isn't, and the sort of resident Sinophobia that is sort of now deeply embedded in parts of the Australian media and parts of the political establishment.
What are some of the ructions happening within the Liberal Party at the moment?
So the Liberal Party has, at the federal level, a persistent problem with lack of female representation. It's now down to its lowest level of female representation, going back to before the John Howard era. So we're going back to the 1990s. And earlier. Now, part of that is the result of the fact that its electoral stocks were quite poor in the wake of the last election. But it's done nothing since then to really fix the problem that it simply does not have a whole lot of women in its ranks, particularly in the lower house, in the House of Representatives. And that situation has been made worse over the weekend because a quite right-wing senator, one of these sort of vaccination skeptics, sort of Trump-style figures called Alex Antic, quite the name, quite the appropriate name, managed to engineer the removal of a prominent female shadow minister from the top of the Senate ticket in South Australia. That basically means she would have been the first elected at the next Senate election in South Australia, but she's now been pushed down to number two. He's taken the top spot. And it's one of these, the Liberal Party can't really seem to help itself. It regularly produces these signals of how little it values and how little its internal processes and its membership base actually values high-profile women. And of course, in all of the, what I call the teal seats, the seats that the Liberal Party lost to independents at the last election, in which they desperately need to win back, all of those seats are held by successful high-profile women. So it's a vexing issue for the Liberal Party that they just seem absolutely hapless to deal with.
A couple of minutes to talk about Labor not getting around to implementing its election promise. This is with respect to political donation disclosures.
Yes, this has erupted quite a bit today, actually, because the crossbenchers, so those teal MPs I was just talking about, have come out with some proposals for disclosure of political donations and things like caps on campaign financing and campaign spending. Now, at the federal level, Australia has some truly rotten laws around disclosure of political donations. Virtually every state here has far more advanced laws, but we don't know. For you know, you've got to go 18 months after people make a donation before you find out whether they actually made it, and it's publicly revealed. Labor committed to overhaul these laws at the last election, and that's now, well, we're coming up to 2 years on. No, we're constantly promised that legislation is just around the corner. It hasn't appeared so far. So the crossbenchers sort of got a bit sick of this and said, all right, well, we want to put our own bill out because Labor's been dragging its feet. And Labor's turned around and rather angrily condemned the crossbenchers as acting in bad faith. It's a classic case, I think, of a large political party talking a lot about transparency and integrity when it's in opposition, because those things seem very important when you're in opposition. But suddenly, when you're in power, they lose their motivation. They lose their any sense of urgency about introducing those sort of reforms. And I think that's exactly what's overtaken Labor, which is look, transparency and integrity are not the kind of issues that shift votes in Australia, but they are really, really important to having a system of government that people can actually trust. And at the moment, I think Labor seems quite content to let continue a system of government that, really people don't have a whole lot of trust in, because we just don't have a whole lot of sunlight around donations.
Thank you, Bernard Keane. He is political editor for Crikey.com.